Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Slide Over Baby Hour here at Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios.
I'm going to eat that ass up.
It's an aggressive Slide Over Baby Hour.
Just get after it.
It's a Harmon at Midnight in the Bar and College Slide Over Baby Hour. Hey, I'm Harmon.
Time has come.
I'm wearing purple shorts. We're leaving. I'm sorry. Who are you? I don't. You're friends with my roommate, right?
I'm kind of a big deal. People know me.
We'll have the latest on the Lakers and what LeBron James said following the Lakers' loss tonight to the Oklahoma City Thunder. No, it was not about his beard. LeBron has decided to go back at what President Trump said earlier today about not watching the NBA. You were going to hear. No, it's not fake news. It actually happened.
You are fake news.
It actually happened. You will hear LeBron's statement in responding to President Trump, who said earlier today when he turns on an NBA game and sees players kneeling, he turns it off, that they've done a job trying to get the NBA back on its feet, and to see this, he doesn't like it. And LeBron decided to respond after the game. We're going to have that coming up in a few minutes. But before we get to that, this most likely, now I got to admit, I haven't seen all of them, but this was probably the best MLB game of the year so far. Dodgers-Padres comes down to the ninth inning, a back-and-forth game. It looked like the Dodgers had control of it. The Padres fought back. It was a 7-2 Dodger lead, but San Diego fights back. They get a couple in the sixth. They get one in the eighth, and they get one in the ninth on Kenley Jansen. Runners at first and third, one out, a 7-6 game, Manny Machado at the plate, and this is how it ended. Let's hear the Dodgers' call first. We'll do some perspectives tonight. We'll hear the Dodgers' side of things and the Padres' side
of
things.
I'm very, very excited about
it. No, Tim Tebow does not have a call on this.
I'm so excited.
He does not have a call on this.
Here's Tebow. He's
high. Let's hear the Dodgers' radio network, AM570. On the call, Manny Machado up facing Kenley Jansen in trouble. First and third, one out, bottom of the ninth.
Jansen set the pitch. Line drive to left field. Caught by Taylor. Tagging is Grisham on his way home, and he is out at the plate, and that's the way the game ends. What a throw by Chris Taylor. Grisham gunned down at the plate, and the Dodgers hang on to beat the Padres 7-6. What a finish.
Trent Grisham, after replay, it was confirmed he was out. I don't think he ever touched the plate. The tag was applied, and there was no question here. The Dodgers win it 7-6 in thrilling fashion. Now let's see how it sounded from the Padres' point of things.
Manny, line drive to left field. Not that deep, but you got to send him. A catch out there by Taylor. The throw, the tag, out at home plate.
That's called from the Padres side of things, and that was it. And it didn't change. The results didn't change depending on who called the play. But the Dodgers win, and this was such an exciting game. There was a lot of offense in this. You had a lot of crazy plays. At one point, you had Kike Hernandez nearly taking Max Muncy's head off on a throw-in from second base of the plate that got away from him. It was some kind of fun, and already the biggest trending topic on social media following this game, and look, it's clear that many people see this game and know what a big deal it is because we see Dodgers-Padres trending, mm-hmm. But right up at the top, Manny Machado. There's Manny Machado at the top, and here comes the San Diego Padres. You know, Manny is overrated. I can't believe it. He's only hitting 200. He didn't bring in a run for us. Oh, I don't know what we're paying the guy for. Here comes the Manny Machado hate all in one fell swoop. All the big start from the Padres is gone as the Padres fall to 7-6. And here comes the Manny Machado's overrated. And whatever we don't do, he's going to be the guy we blame.
That's okay. You got to have a fall guy. Because one of the other guys trending is Kenley Jansen.
Yeah.
So you got that flowing as you go. And Mike Trout with his dad's strength, his third home run in seven at-bats. totaling some 1,200 plus feet on those three blasts. So that's a beautiful thing. I'm surprised you didn't lead it with what was a thrilling doubleheader, though. As much as I love this Dodgers and Padres finish, the fact that the Marlins are in first place on winning percentage and in a 14-inning doubleheader, there were a combined four runs between them and the Baltimore Orioles.
When did the Mets get to play the Orioles? I mean, at some point we got to get to play them. The series is against the Braves and we lose three out of four. Oh, it's a killer. But, you know, look, Manny Machado, clearly, whatever the Padres do, he will get the credit or the blame for it. Yeah. He will get much more blame if they stink than he will get credit if they win. Machado's off to a slowish start. He's hitting 200. It's only been a handful of games. They played 13 games. Some players start slow. It's more magnified now, obviously, because we're playing 60 games instead of 162. But it's not like he was terrible last year. You know, Manny Machado is someone who people forget. He's not a guy that's going to hit 40 home runs and knock in 130 runs and hit 330. That's not what Machado does. Machado hits 25 or 30 home runs a year. He knocks in between 85 and 95 runs a year. Hits anywhere between 255 and 270. And that's what Machado did. I mean, that's kind of what he does. So if he was someone who, boy, he normally is a 30 and 120 and 310 guy, and last year he was 25 and 90 and 250. Well, so okay, well, now we're not getting, but that's kind of what you're getting from him. You overpaid for him, quite honestly. I mean, let's just call it how it is. The image of having Manny Machado is better than having Manny Machado, because there's so many guys that have a better OPS than him, a better WAR. His WAR is only 3. I mean, it's still pretty good, but is it worth, you know, $30 million a year? No, Manny Machado hit free agency at the right time. He couldn't find a team that he wanted that was a big contender. The Padres made a big, bold move, and I love that they did, because, listen, they're my Dark Horse World Series team. They're on the way up. They got a lot of young talent. But Machado kind of is what he is. You know, this is what he's going to do. He's just having a slow start. And you know what? He hit that ball in the button off of Jansen. It's not like it was a lazy fly ball and Taylor came in. I mean, he hit a line drive that worked out every way for the Dodgers. Chris Taylor was able to come in, catch it on the run, and make a throw, but he hit that ball on the button, line drive to left field. It didn't fall, and you know, Grisham had kind of a weird last 30 feet to the plate. He kind of took a couple of wide steps and stepped out like he didn't know what he was going to do. Am I going to try to evade the tag? Maybe if he doesn't, he gets in there, but it looked like he was thinking about potentially trying to go a little bit wide, and certainly that cuts down your time getting from third base to the plate when you know you got to do it fast, because it's a line drive to shallow left field. So I would say more Grisham had a rougher, a bad time there on that play than Machado did, but it was that close. It was almost 7-7. It worked out. It was a bang-bang play. It was exciting, and that's just how it goes. I can't blame Manny Machado for it, but unfortunately, like I said, good or bad, he's going to get all the attention and much more attention if they lose than they will if they win.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy. Look, Tatis Jr. is the guy everybody's looking at, right? Or Paddock off the mound. I mean, everything else is gravy. No matter what they paid Machado, he's not the face of that team. But he's a nice, helpful goat to have if things go awry.
Well, it's because of the money. If they didn't, when you get that, who's we stink? Who's making the most money? It's his fault. You know,
that's the way it works in all sports. No more so than in the NFL. Right? I mean, how many times do you see it? Just look at Detroit. And Matthew Stafford is a guy, I'm not saying he's Joe Clutch, but, you know,
there's
a lot of...
You can't say that. Come on.
No. But my point is, he's not nearly as bad as, you know, you could put records on him. It's like, well, look at the teams you've put around him, right? Now you've got a couple of great players, but when Calvin Johnson was there, what did you have? Golden Tate now and again? But you didn't have any, like, superstars, right? You had Calvin Johnson and some guys, right? Other than Barry, your running back position has been nothing going on years. But the point being, because he makes a lot of money, and anytime a quarterback gets paid, if the team struggles, it then becomes we paid the quarterback all that money. Like, well, the other guys have to do their jobs too. And, yes, I guess you can blame him based on cap casualties and things of that nature. But to that end, you know, beyond Machado, the play itself, that's my only problem with the whole three outcome thing, is you got to apply pressure to people. Why I lament the fact that nobody knows how to bunt. I saw a bunt over the weekend. I started crying. Like it was the birth of another child. Like it was the greatest thing. That guy actually bunted. He tried to bunt for a base
bunted.
Hit.
It was so great.
Yeah, I mean, it's like he bunted trying to get a base hit and was thrown out easily. But the fact that he laid one down at all was just, it was thrilling and exciting. But when you put the ball in play, there's always a chance something goes awry. And if you force a throw, I mean, how many guys are pinpoint precision, right, to where it makes for an easy delivery for the catcher to make a play? It's especially on the run, off a line drive. There's a million things with that that made it a difficult play. And we see that all the time. You know, force the action, force the throw, and see what happens. And so that's my big hatred of the strikeout, walk, and home run era that we're currently in. And the fact that nobody bunts. Force the action. Force a throw. Make people think.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Now, here's the flip side of things. For a team like the Dodgers, who now move into first place, a virtual tie with the Colorado Rockies after tonight at 9-4, Rockies 8-3. Is that, look, Jansen is trending, and I know that that's going to be the go-to knee-jerk is, oh, Jansen's got problems again. No, Kenley Jansen's pitched pretty well. In fact, you want to look at what the Dodgers' biggest weakness was last year. What's been the biggest weakness for the past couple of years? Their bullpen, right? Bullpen is very dicey outside of Jansen, sometimes even including Jansen. Yes, you can sit back and say, well, Bellinger doesn't hit when the playoffs come, and you know, they don't get the start out of Kershaw they need once in a while. But the big trending thing the past couple of years for the Dodgers has been, boy, their bullpen, really, there's not many guys they can rely on. Who's got the lowest ERA in the National League? The Dodgers. Team ERA is 2.13. This is counting Walker Buehler and his 5.79 ERA, who, oh, by the way, is the best pitcher on the Dodgers staff and one of the top seven pitchers in all of baseball. So their ERA is, their bullpen is pitching light. Their bullpen came out tonight and was phenomenal, you know, for the most part. This has been such a boon for them that for, you know, as more time goes on, we look at teams that are, you know, now are a sixth of the way through the season. Who's starting to play well? Who's starting to really, you know, fade? That's one of the biggest things. The Dodgers pitching staff and their bullpen and everybody's ERA. These guys are all coming in. Nobody's got a bloated ERA. Nobody's throwing the ball terrible. And really, you take Walker Buehler's ERA out and their team ERA is up well under two. I mean, that's the worst news for the rest of the National League is that everything the Dodgers have, their starting pitching is great. Their hitting is A++++. Oh, yeah, and by the way, here comes their bullpen. They've kind of figured things out. That's really bad news for everybody else.
Well, the other part being, as we get running in this 60 game hurdles, I can't call it a sprint because we've got all these little hiccups that we have to navigate. So the hurdles, the Dodgers are always a team that can look and say, hey, we can add payroll, right? go ahead. So as we get to the trade deadline, there's teams that are looking at what their numbers are for 2021 and guys that maybe they're not so sure they want to keep around. Dodgers can be players for that. And so the bullpen, as it stands now, you might have another arm. You may go find another starter that becomes a luxury. Because, look, we already had a little bit of a scare with Clayton Kershaw. You don't need that again. David Price opted out, a guy that you would have had as a starter and an extra long relief arm, as we've seen him be willing to do in the past. So they're also a team that can get richer as things go on. So, yes, even worse for the National League.
Hey, you think we call the Mets for DeGrom? You think they'd really give him up at this point? Boy, they stink so far.
Ask the new owners. They took a tour of Citi Field today. Hey, A-Rod, what do you think?
What did I tell you? Future Mets owners, here you go. Get rid of everybody. Keep DeGrom, not even Mats anymore. Just keep DeGrom, McNeil, and Alonso. That's all. Not even Mats anymore. Just DeGrom, McNeil, and Alonso. Get rid of everybody else. Managers, general manager especially. Get rid of everybody else. Just completely clean house. That's what you need to do.
I like the way you think. Just four guys, Mr. and Mrs. Met. That's it. And the
Blackhawks. Oh, keep Mr. and Mrs. Met.
That's
yes.
right. In the final 5-6-8, Blackhawks score two goals, including one that might have been scored by the Oilers, but it was, in fact, credit to Connor Murphy. 4-3, your final.
Oh, look at you. Give me a little bit of da 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 da.
You gotta be able to have yourself a little bit of celebration as you get two goals late and an elated Chicago crowd. No question about it.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it. With their free same-day pickup, you can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. If you have a job that can wait until tomorrow, AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35. Just order by 10 p.m. At AutoZone, free next-day delivery is available on over 100,000 parts. Visit AutoZone.com. Today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Coming up next, really, we don't get Chelsea Dagger. Really? Seriously, tight shirt?
Nah.
Really? We get Everybody Wants to Rule the World. I feel like I don't watch Dennis Miller now. Really? We don't get Chelsea Dagger.
This song is awesome. Nah.
I'd rather hear...
A what?
Don't say it.
Jason.
Yeah.
You have 50 cents, right?
I have 50 cents, yes.
Okay, I took 45.
Okay.
And then I hand you something back. What do yes. I give you?
You give me a nickel.
It's a nickel back!
No, stop. That was not right.
What do you mean?
I didn't say nickel back.
Oh, way to jam
it
in
there. Say nickel back?
I'm stupid. That's all it is. I am stupid.
He walked you into a bear trap.
Wait till you hear what LeBron James had to say following the Lakers' loss tonight. That's next. This is Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
Live from the Geico Studios. Kind of turned into Hall & Oates night. I don't know how. It just kind of did. Well, I'm just glad we're not going to play anymore from the band whose name is opposite of Dime Front. So I think we're okay.
Well, we got to celebrate the soft rock that we have here, Hall & Oates.
Don't say it.
No,
don't.
Six don't. Number ones.
Don't say it.
What, 34 inside the top 100? I mean, just dominance.
I'll tell you what.
They still tour, still sell out. Tell you what, live concerts come back. I'll take y'all and I'll buy you orange whips to go around with it, and we will celebrate.
You want to hear a good story? So when I used to work at ESPN and I did the show from right next to Staples Center in downtown LA, and I would have to go there every single night, drive past Staples Center. And of course, any night there was a big game going on, it was harder for me to, you know, get around there and navigate the last couple of blocks because of all this foot traffic. Sometimes it would take me 20 minutes to go two blocks and make a left-hand turn just because of the foot traffic. People don't stop. They keep walking. The worst last two-block drive I ever had. Now, this is when I would go down Kings playoff games, Lakers playoff games. The worst last two-block drive, the final two blocks to make the left-hand turn to pull in. Worst drive I ever had. It was a concert. I'm going, what the hell concert is this? I'm like, this has got to be a hot concert. I mean, it's got to be like Justin Bieber or somebody. And there's so many people. There's so many people around. And it took me over a half hour to drive two blocks. And this is when, you know, I want to pull the steering wheel out of the car and just throw it out the window. And I'm driving, I go, oh my God, and I'm going, it's an older crowd. And I see women in acid wash jeans, and I'm going, okay, this has got to be a band that was popular a long time ago. That was Hall & Oates. No, it was nice. Hall & Oates at Staples Center. Toughest drive I ever had to get there, the last couple of blocks, because it was Hall & Oates. Not Lakers playoff game, not Lakers NBA finals game. No. Hall & Oates in concert.
I love it. I told you, they still pack them in, man.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's not one date and then on to the next down. No, that's you're setting up a weekend.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that
yeah.
is a weekend of Hall and Oates.
Yeah, we don't tour like we used to, where we're in, you know, San Diego on Tuesday and then L.A. on Wednesday and then we're in Fresno on Thursday. No. We're going to be in L.A. for a couple of days. How many concerts? One. How long are you going to be there for? A few days. You know, we're getting a little older. We don't tour like we used to when we're in our mid-20s. So that happened.
Yeah, I got to start going to some of those concerts just to watch the crowd.
So
it's like whenever there's a huge crowd, mass of people,
yeah.
I feel better about where I'm at physically.
Okay.
Because on a day-to-day basis, I mean, you compare yourself to, you know, folks in our business, you know, folks on TV and whatever. I'm like, yeah, I need to lose another couple pounds. You put the camera on to do a video hit, and you're like, yeah, there's a little bit there, you know, let's get rid of a little bit.
Yeah, the COVID-15.
And then I walk around a theme park or something like that, mm-hmm. and I feel like I'm the most attractive son of a gun walking through that park.
Wait, you're going to theme parks now?
In my purple shorts, I'm swaggering around. What?
Wait, you're going to theme parks now, or you mean in general, like before COVID-19?
No, in general, before
this. Oh, okay, all right.
Now, we did go eat at Downtown Disney on Sunday.
Okay.
There, it was not crowded at all.
All right, like, very good.
So the first couple of days, for those listening in the greater Los Angeles area, we appreciate you and being part of our extended family. Or if you're traveling out here, you decide to come to California. There were a few days when they reopened Downtown Disney where evidently it was really crowded, the lines to get in. That has dissipated. Evidently the novelty of rushing back to that was done. So we were able to go and find a seat right away. They kept everybody apart from each other, distancing. Here's your, you know, contactless menu. So it was just a QR code. So you grab it on your phone and then you're looking at the menu on your phone. So, I mean, it was pretty well done, pretty innovative and, you know, not a lot of foot traffic or concerns as far as that went. But again, I still felt top 10%.
Very nice. Hey, you know what? I feel better. I feel like the greatest guy in the world. But if you want to, you know, couch that with I feel top 10%, maybe top 15%. I think you're doing pretty good then.
Sometimes top 5.
I feel top 5. Tonight's maybe a 75%. No, maybe I'm at 50% today. Maybe I'm at 65%
today. The ego takes some hits. There's no question about it, man. It's a roller coaster ride that we're all on. Just try to find the crests and savor those when you got them.
So the Lakers tonight fell to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They got drubbed. They never led in this game. It is not that big a deal. They didn't shoot well. Not that big a deal. As I said earlier tonight, the games can't mean everything to the Lakers and nothing to the Clippers when both teams lose. But that's the way it's being presented when you watch television, listen to sports talk radio. Oh, the Lakers, they're in trouble. No, if it's not a big deal for the Clippers to continue to lose the way they are and not have their players, which it isn't a big deal, but everybody, and I listen to people all day here on Fox, everywhere, go, yeah, Clippers are fine, everything's good, but the Lakers, watch out. Really? Why is it a bigger deal for the Lakers to not win than it is for the Clippers to not win? It's either a big deal for both of them or it's not a big deal for both of them. But just because the built-in polarizing nature of LeBron and the Lakers, it's, oh, every Laker loss. No, the Lakers are fine. They're not going to lose the championship because they didn't shoot well the first five or six games back in the bubble. Nobody's shooting all that well. All right, that's just how it is because everybody's getting back into shape and you're seeing teams take these eight games at different levels of seriousness. Some are going after everything because they got to get in the playoffs. Some went after it a little bit, but they clinched the number one spot and now they're backing off a bit. And some are just treating it as we don't care where we finish. We want to just make sure we're playing our best basketball after eight games. So it really, you got to be consistent, all right? Because you lose a lot of credibility if you go from, oh, but I just don't like this team, so that's why I think this is a big deal for them. It's either a big deal for the teams that are winning and losing, or it's not. And so Lakers and Clippers, just because the Clippers are more likable by fans outside and more, you know, they jumped in front, the media loved the Clippers this year, it needs to be different. Right? So that's the big thing for the game tonight.
Sure,
with the
street
Lakers.
Lights instead of spotlights.
Exactly.
Come on.
Yeah, street lights instead of spotlights, yeah.
Here's two of the top five players in the world. Street lights. Yeah. instead of spotlights.
And let's look at what their salaries are. Yeah, streetlights instead of spotlights.
No, it's all good. It's a good slogan. Love the Clippers, part of our family, AM570 sure. LA Sports here in Los Angeles. But, you know, marketing campaign that is a little bit head-scratching. But to your point, just the games before we get to the other, that's absolutely the case for both the Clippers and the Lakers, and then on the other side, the Bucks. Your work in the regular season is essentially done. Now it's what do you bring to the table? Are there some concerns for me with the Lakers? Yes. There's concern with the Clippers of having all their guys available. And then for the Bucks, you got Giannis. And then, well, we'll see if everybody's ready for prime time, including Giannis, when it's all said and done. Raptors, Rick Bucher's Raptors, and others ready to go. So it's going to be a fun run. But, yeah, let's be fair and equitable in this process.
So for the Lakers, after the game tonight, you figure the questions are going to be about not shooting well, how things are going. No, everything turned to what President Trump said earlier today on TV. He was asked about the NBA when he was on Fox and Friends this morning. And President Trump said, quote, I turn off the game when I see people kneeling. He is not a big fan of that, and he's said that many times. He thinks NFL players should be fired for kneeling for the national anthem, and he said that he turns off NBA games when this happens, and he said that the ratings are down in the NBA. Many people feel the same way, and they're not watching the NBA because they're seeing the kneeling for the national anthem. Well, this was brought up to LeBron James after the game tonight, and here's what LeBron had to say.
I really don't think the basketball community are sad about losing his viewership, him viewing the game. If we continue to talk about we want, you know, better, won't change, we have an opportunity to do that. So the game will go on without his eyes on it. I can sit here and speak for all of us that love the game of basketball. We could care less.
So LeBron not mincing words when he talks about what he feels of the president saying, I am not watching the NBA anymore. Now, there's a couple of things from this. First of all, we've seen this before, right? And this is where a story like this now becomes a headline for a few hours, and then we move on, rather than a headline that stays for months. The first time around when President Trump said NFL players should be fired, look, the kneeling situation was pretty much done. It wasn't a national storyline anymore, but President Trump brought it back. He knew his base disagreed with people kneeling for the national anthem, and he knew that he could fire them up by that. So he brings it back, and the NFL runs crazed. Oh my goodness, the president is saying this about us, and oh, what are we going to do? Oh my God, and it becomes a national storyline for a long time, and the NFL can't get out from under it. But that was, you know, 3.5 years ago. Now we have seen that President Trump tweets about stuff, and then he goes on. He's something else and something else. Look, I've told you for the longest time, his strategy of throwing out 1,000 things an hour is very effective because you can't focus on one thing because you move on to something else and on to something else. So now what this is being met with is he said this, I'm going to give you my response, and then the story's going to go away. Right? He said this about the NBA, we're not going to miss him, and now the story's going to go away and we're going to go play basketball. And if he says something else, but it's not going to be something, this is not going to grip the NBA in a bunch of controversy surrounding the NBA versus the president. The NBA is not going to take the bait like the NFL did because the NFL didn't know how to handle it. Now they know how to handle it. And when Roger Goodell gave a statement saying, we have the backs of all our players who want to kneel and do what they want to do, this was the NFL saying, okay, you can say what you want about kneeling before the national anthem, we're going to kind of do our thing. And I think that's where sports is in general when it comes to politics right now, is that we're going to do our thing. The election's coming up in November. We're 100 days out from that. The NBA is in their mode, getting ready for the playoffs. Major League Baseball's playing, getting ready for the playoffs. The NFL has given their statement as they're getting ready for the season. Everybody's got a lot on their plate. This is not a normal beginning, middle, end of sports seasons. We're trying to figure things out during a pandemic. So they're now treating when this comes out with a proportional response of, okay, we have to address it. We do. Now we're moving on. And we have a lot of other things going on, so we're not going to get drawn into a long, drawn-out politics and sports battle. I've said many times, you're not going to be able to put to do the stick to sports anymore. You're going to have to say politics and sports are going to be mixed because everybody weighs in on it, and we're not putting that genie back in the bottle. But for the next couple of months, and for the time we're in right now, I think you're going to see sports back away and try not to get drawn into the political situation we're going to see now for the next 100 days as we get close to the election.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we've got differing approaches and changes, right? We had the messages on the back of jerseys, and a lot of it is can't tell the players without the scorecards. So you got names at the bottom. There was the flap over whether Jimmy Butler, what he could put on because he didn't want to go out with a nameplate the other day, and they forced him to put one on his jersey. So he was salty about that, but complied. In the WNBA, you got a big fight in Atlanta and a lot going on in terms of campaigning against Loeffler, the partial owner of the Atlanta squad. So you got that fight. It's there. But I truly believe most of the time folks have gotten past the messaging to some degree, those that were mad about it. I haven't read anything really discussing it. Maybe they're voting with their TV sets. I don't get caught up too much in the ratings on a daily basis. I mean, I usually take it in a block more than anything. And, you know, we're not that far in at this point. These are still exhibition games to a large degree, except for that 8 seed that the Grizzlies may end up giving up. But when we look at it, once the basketball starts, are you paying attention to anything but the basketball? I'm sure not. I mean, I'm not mad at anybody for, you know, you have your beliefs and the way they work together with the league to come to this end. You know, that's it. They've made their agreement, and it was inevitable that President Trump would sound off on this, and a number of guys chimed in today. I don't expect this, even if he were to double down in another appearance, for it to really go anywhere.
Yeah, look, if it was the beginning of the season and it was a November normal start where players were just getting, you'd see more of a response. You would see more of things. But now, because we're close enough to the election and because they're in their playoff mode right now at a different time of them, they're going to say, yes, great, here's our statement, here's what we think, and we're moving on right now. And they're not going to get drawn into politics as they get closer to the playoffs and moving on to win a championship. I just don't see any sport doing that right now. You know, like I said, it would be different if it was certain leagues are just starting out, but look, the NFL is getting ready to start, and they're saying, listen, we're not going to get involved in this. And you know that it's going to become a thing again because President Trump's going to bring it back again and try to get traction on it when the NFL starts with players because everybody's going to kneel. Everybody's going to kneel for a while, and the eyeballs on, if you think the eyeballs on the NBA have been pretty big, and oh, by the way, the ratings have been pretty good for the NBA so far, the ratings for the NFL games are going to be through the roof, and you know, maybe that's good, but that'll be the next time this comes up. But I think the NFL is going to respond the same way. Hey, we're behind our players, what they want to do, and we're going forward, and we are turning around to it, because eventually then the president's going to go on to something else, and we're going to get all caught up in the debates and him and Biden and all of these things. So this is where I see how I see politics and sports for at least the next few months. Well, you know, getting into past the election.
Yeah, and my last word on it, you know, with no side taken at all, just objectively standing out, you don't fault a good strategy, right? If you know it's going to rally people and you're trying to get reelected, you do it. I mean, that's the way politics and gamesmanship works from the local to the federal levels.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studios. Tonight, Major League Baseball, we talked about a lot of big games tonight, but the Astros tonight lose to the Diamondbacks 14-7. Kyle Murray throws a couple of touchdowns. Zero players on the Astros got hit, this coming off last night when four players got hit. And it's clear that pitchers are still going to throw inside to Astros players. It's still going to happen. We talk about it from the other side of it, but now I'm going to say what I would tell the Astros, and I'll tell them, listen, if you listen to me, will score more runs, and teams will stop throwing at you. Okay. Now, we saw last night the four hit by pitches, three by Madison Bumgarner. A couple they could have gotten out of the way from, and they didn't. I wonder if they're starting to do this a little bit already, but I would tell them, listen, teams are going to still throw inside against us. They're still going to try to hit us. You know what? Lean into it, or don't try to get out of the way as fast as you can. Take the base. We have enough mashers on this team. We will make them pay on the scoreboard. And eventually, within a week or two, teams will stop throwing at us because we're going to dent them on the scoreboard. If they hit us four times in a game, we're going to make them pay on the scoreboard with that. And if the Astros as a team did that and you saw them getting hit three, four times again, they're going to score more runs and teams are going to say, okay, we can't throw inside like that anymore. I can't get cute trying to do it, so I'm stopping. And now not only will the Astros players not get hit, now they'll go up to the plate with a more aggressive approach because it's not in the back of their minds. All right, if it's 2-0, am I going to get hit? You know, if it's 1-2, we're down by 3, am I going to get hit here? And not that you go in there afraid, but it's different. You can go up there just hacking, and the less you have to think about in the batter's box, the better off you are. If they did that for a couple weeks, hitting the Astros would stop because teams would say, I can't afford that. I can't afford to put a guy on base when he's going to come around and score.
Yeah, I mean, they're too strong a lineup, right? There's no holes in it or as it is. And what we've seen, I mean, we saw last night, you had a couple of hit batsmen early, and they came around to score or extended innings to get the next batter up, get them on, get them over, get them in. And you apply that philosophy however necessary, get some extra armor on, you know, get a little ankle brace for when you're at the plate, you know, make sure you've got your flexibility and all in your legs. But you know, make sure you can cover it up, take the hit, move on, go find Barry Bonds, go find Batman, whatever you need to do, get some armor and be ready for it, and then go on the conga line.
And you need it because your guys are not hitting. Surprise, surprise, you don't know what pitch is coming. You know, Springer's under 200, Altuve's hitting 150. All right, Kyle Tucker's hitting 230. I mean, they're just not hitting. So you need to let's try to juice our way on base a little bit. I don't mean that, Ju. Let's try to juice our way on base a little bit here by, you know, if we need to get hit by a pitch to get things going here, get back in the groove, okay, this is what we have to do. It's what I would tell the Astros. It would work.
Can't fault a good strategy.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Hey, on iTunes, download our latest special teams podcast, Jags Upset Over the Broncos, the Ambush at Mile High, 96 Playoffs. Ben Maller is coming up next.